Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now today, I'm going to start a series of messages that I'm going to preach from the book of 1 John in the New Testament. John wrote three epistles, three letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. This one will be from 1 John, and I'm going to major on a verse in chapter 2 of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 29. And the title of this series is The Doing of Righteousness. This is part one, and I'm just going to preach through some of these verses. I want to show you the context. I want you to study the Scriptures. That's what we're all about, studying the Bible. And so I want to talk about this concept of the doing of righteousness. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. If you like to follow along in your Bibles. And this passage here, verse 29, says, "If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now, what a verse that is. You know, that's an amazing thing to say. If you know that he is righteousness. First of all, who is the he, the first he there? If you know that he is righteous. Well, John had already established that back in chapter 2 when he spoke of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the advocate of his people. In other words, he stands as the surety and the representative and the substitute to advocate for his people, to plead his merits for his people. And he says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin." And now that phrase there can be misleading in the sense that people take it wrong. It's not just in case you sin. It's because you do sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. The righteous one. And so back here in 1 John 2:29 now, he says, "If you know that he is righteous." That's Christ. And Christ, as he is the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you know that God is righteous, and Christ is the God-man. And so if you know that God is righteous, then you also, if you really know this. Now, understand that when it says if you know these things, it means you know the reality of it. And you know, a lot of people may say, well, we know some things, but we just don't know the essence of it, the reality of it. You say, well, I know God is righteous. Well, if you really know that God is righteous, John is writing here, he says, and he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So if you know that he, God, is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness. Now, what is it to do righteousness? If you do righteousness, that means you've been born again by the Spirit, is born of him. That's the new birth that it's talking about. Remember Christ in John chapter 3, in verse 3, in speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And of course, he's talking there about spiritual sight. You know, the Bible says that in order for a person to receive Christ, and this is written in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, for a person to receive Christ, you know, people talk about receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Well, for a person to truly, savingly do that, he must first be born again from above, born of God. Because unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the reality of Christ. You say, well, I'm a sinner. Well, unless you're born again, you don't really understand the reality and the depth of your sinfulness and your depravity and your need of grace. God has to give spiritual eyes to see these things. God has to give spiritual ears to hear these things savingly. A new heart, the Bible calls it. A new spirit, that means new life. Spiritual life. You see, we're born by nature, having fallen in Adam. We are born because we fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. As a result of that, we are born naturally, but not naturally, into spiritual death. Spiritually dead. That's what the scripture says. Now, what is spiritual death? Well, it's the absence of spiritual life. We have physical life. We have minds, we have affections, we have wills, we have a conscience, but we don't have spiritual life. And so how do we know if we have spiritual life? How do we know we've been born again by the Spirit? We do righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you what doing righteousness is, and then I'm going to spend the rest of this program and some other programs showing you, proving that from the context of the Bible. That means everything. Context is everything here. What's he talking about? Well, doing righteousness. Now, doing righteousness here in this context refers to a sinner saved by grace. Not by his works now, but a sinner saved by grace, believing in and clinging to, holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ as his only righteousness before God. That's what John is talking about. It's a sinner who's been born again by the Spirit, who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has repented of his dead works, thinking that anything but the obedience unto death, the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness imputed, could save me or recommend me unto God or justify me before God. He's repented of all that and he clings to Christ. And by the grace and power of God, he will not let go. That's what doing righteousness is here. And that's the main evidence of a sinner having been born again of God. How do I know I've been born again? Well, the Bible gives us several things. But the first and foremost is we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our dead works, our own supposed righteousness, which we've come to find out is not righteousness at all, and we cling to him. We stay with him, and we will not let go, not because of our power or our goodness or our determination, but because of the power of God. The reason a sinner won't let go of Christ, a sinner who's been born again, will not let go of Christ is because God will not let go of him. That's what Christ said in John chapter 10. No one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So the doing of righteousness, again now, refers to a sinner saved by grace through the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. And that sinner believing in and clinging to Christ as his only righteousness before God. Now I'm going to back that up with the scripture in the context that John is speaking of here. But let me spend this program just laying the foundation, which I've already started doing. First of all, this concept of righteousness. is something that so many people are confused about today, even those who claim to be Christian. You know, the concepts of sin and the concept of righteousness are things that most people really don't know the reality of according to the Bible. What is sin? Most people think of sin as immorality. And, of course, immorality is sin. There's no argument there. Should Christians be moral people? Obviously, yes. Everyone who is a Christian, who believes in Christ, should follow Christ and strive to follow Christ in their character, in their conduct, in their attitude. The Bible says that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, purpose. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. We should be responsible citizens. All of that's true. There's no doubt about that. The Bible is full of exhortations for believers to be moral. Moral people. Responsible people. All of that's true. So that there's no question about that. But what does the Bible teach about sin? Well, in the Bible, sin, there's many words that describe sin in the Bible. But the most common word you find in the New Testament, for example, in verses like Romans 3 and verse 23, that you probably quoted, I quote all the time, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word there means to miss the mark. It means to fall short. It means to not measure up. Another word for sin, iniquity, doesn't equal out. It doesn't measure up. That's what it is. And so sin is missing the mark. Well, what is the mark? Well, he says in Romans 3:23, it's the glory of God. Now, in the Bible, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is His nature. The glory of God is His perfection, His holiness. And the only way that we can see the reality of God's glory is by looking to, resting in, believing in, clinging to Jesus Christ, who is the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that the God who made light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. That is, in His person and in His work. So if you want to find the glory of God, look to Christ. The old Jewish writers used to talk about the Shekinah glory. You might have heard that term, the Shekinah, which had to do with the presence of God. Under the old covenant, the Shekinah dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat were. And what that was the greatest revelation of God that could be found on earth. And of course, all of that was a picture and a type of salvation by God's grace through Christ. The mercy seat. Who is our mercy? If we're a Christian, who is our mercy seat? Christ is. Christ is my mercy seat. Well, where does the glory of God reside today? It resides in the face of Jesus Christ. In Christ, you see. So here's my point. If you want to understand the reality of sin, you have to look to Jesus Christ, His obedient life, His death on the cross. And that's the mark. And what it tells us is this, that unless we measure up to Christ in every way in the perfection of righteousness, which is Christ, we fall short. We miss the mark. And in God's eyes, it's sin. Now, what that tells us is this. There's no way that any of us can be good enough, moral enough, to measure up in ourselves, work our way up to righteousness. And that's where we come to the concept of righteousness. How good do I have to be saved? How good do I have to live eternally with God? Well, what is righteousness? Sin is missing the mark, falling short of righteousness. Somebody might say, well, I know I don't make it perfectly, but I'm closer than some. Close is not good enough. You see, in order to be saved, in order to live eternally with God, you must have a righteousness that equals the demands of God's law and justice. And that's what righteousness is. It is the perfection of God's law and justice. And the only way that a sinner can find such a perfection is to look to, rest in, cling to Jesus Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. The Bible says that Christ, this is Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the perfection, the completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believe in Him. All who do not believe in Him are going about trying to establish a righteousness of their own. And in reality, they're not doing righteousness. They're sinning with a high hand. It's unbelief. How good must I be? I must be as good as Christ. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 31 that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge men in righteousness. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, in that He has given assurance unto all men, in that He has raised Him from the dead. Do I measure up in anything I think, say, and do to the perfection that can only be found in Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. Well, that's where the gospel comes in. The gospel is good news. I've got good news for you. Here's the point. Here's the problem. God is righteous, and we're not. God cannot accept, bless, receive, or have anything to do in blessing or fellowship with anyone who is less than righteous. But here's the good news. And among men there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. So here's the good news. The gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. And here's verse 17. Here's the good news, folks. For therein, in that gospel, in that good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Doing righteousness is the justified, those who have been declared not guilty and who have been declared righteous by God, not because of their works, but because of His grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness imputed to them. They're living by faith. They're living looking to Christ. And that's what it's all about. Jesus Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. Jeremiah called Him that twice. The Lord, our righteousness. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Isaiah, that concept was laid down, you see. And so what, clinging to Christ, going to Christ, believing in Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. You see, it's not my believing that makes me righteous. It's Christ. And that's He's who I believe. So, when you look at 1 John 2:29, look at it again. If you know that He is righteous, well, I know that. Do you know that? Christ is righteous. And my friend, He's the only one. He's the only one born into this world. God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, who can be called righteous based upon His character and His conduct. Nobody else can be called that. You may be a moral person. And I hope you are. And I hope I'm a moral person. But I cannot say that my morality is my righteousness before God. Christ is my righteousness. Righteousness comes through Him by the grace of God. Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's not by us, it's by Him. So that's the basic concept of the whole Bible. That's what grace is all about. You know, a lot of people claim salvation by grace, but they don't know the reality and the truth of grace as it's written in the Bible, revealed in the Bible. Grace to many is God helping them to help themselves. Grace to many is God just making salvation available if you want it. Well, here's the problem. Nobody by nature wants it. God's way now. We want it our way, but not God's way. And if we do want it God's way, what does that tell us? We've been born again by the Spirit. God's way is the way of righteousness by Christ as the surety and substitute of His people. 2 Corinthians 5:21 speaks of it. For God made Him to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ had the debt. That's another word for sin in the Bible, debt, because sin rings up a debt. The debt of the sins of God's people, His elect, His church, all who come to believe on Him, was imputed, charged, accounted to Christ, and He died. He went under the wrath of His Father and died that death that we deserved and have earned. And in exchange, we get His righteousness. We who believe get His righteousness charged to us, imputed to us. And that's what righteousness is. So John writes again in verse 29 of 1 John 2, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, if you're born of God, you do righteousness, not by your efforts to obey. No, because your efforts to obey still fall short of perfection. We sing a hymn at our church, only a sinner saved by grace, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Paul wrote about it in Romans 7 when he talked about his inability, even as a saved person, to keep the law perfectly. We're to strive, believers are to strive to keep God's word, to follow Christ, to be like Him in our character and conduct. But while we're on this earth, in this physical flesh, we have a warfare with the flesh, the sin within us, and it contaminates everything we do so that we cannot yet, call ourselves perfect, righteous in ourselves. We look to Christ. Our righteousness, as one old writer said, resides in glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous. So doing righteousness is a born-again person, a sinner saved by grace, not looking to himself to be righteous, not looking to his works and efforts to make himself righteous, but one looking to Christ, clinging to Christ, believing in Christ for all righteousness. Now that's what the context of 1 John chapter 2, and in the coming message, we'll start in just a minute, but in the coming messages, that's what I want to show you. But the first, one of the things that you need to see about this passage, look back up in verse 26 of 1 John 2. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Seduction. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about a religious seduction. And what it is, and this has happened in just about every generation of the true church, whenever God's people are gathered together in the assembly of the church or the churches, and I'm not talking about denominations here because denominationalism is of the devil, but those who gather together under the true gospel, it never fails that Satan and his ministers seek to infiltrate stealthily into the body of Christ and seduce people away from what Paul called, for example, in 2 Corinthians 11, the simplicity that is in Christ. That simplicity is their single look, their single faith in Christ alone. He is my all and in all. My sins are forgiven because I'm washed in the blood of Christ. I'm justified before God because of His righteousness imputed. It's all Christ. He is my life. And when false preachers try to seduce you away from that, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you away from the gospel. And corrupt, and they're deceived themselves. And that's who John is talking about. Well, in 1 John, it seems that many who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who claim to have faith in Him, who claim to be saved by grace, were being drawn away by these false preachers who seduced them away. Well, what does that mean? Did they lose their salvation? And the answer is no. And that's what we'll deal with next time. No, they didn't lose their salvation. They just revealed what they were all along. They were false professors who had never been born again. Because those who do with righteousness, they're born of God. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.